Ms. Cheryl Chan asked why the efforts to change did not include the private sector. The government knew that it would take time for public sector agencies to make the change. We expected that it would take even longer for the private sector because of long-standing practices and habits. The plan was therefore to change the internal practices of government before moving to change practices in the private sector and non-profit organizations, which Ms. Usha Chandradas asked about. We believed that doing so would allow us to better understand the implementation challenges and, as a result, facilitate a smoother transition in the private sector. We had also planned to mount a major effort to help Singaporeans be aware of the risks and to support efforts to stop incorrect practices. The BizFile incident was an unfortunate misstep, which now means these plans need to be brought forward. While we had taken steps to stop the incorrect uses of NRIC numbers in the public sector, we had not started implementation for the private sector. Mr. Edward Chia, Mr. Liang, Ms. Hazel Pua, and Mr. Xie have asked specifically what should be done in the private sector. At this stage, we would advise private sector organizations to do two things. First, private sector organizations that are using NRIC numbers as a factor of authentication or as default passwords should stop this practice as soon as possible. Second, private sector organizations that presently collect partial NRIC numbers to identify people can continue to do so. The guidelines for the private sector have not yet changed, and we will only consider how they should be updated after consulting the public. Two questions by Mr. Xie, Mr. Melvin Yong, and Mr. Sharil Taha. We aim to start consultations soon and will provide details when ready. Our initial soundings with the private sector suggest there can be different approaches. Some organizations currently using partial NRIC numbers can stop the practice and replace them with alternative means of identification, such as mobile numbers or email addresses, or drop them entirely. But there are also organizations that need to accurately identify persons and can justify the collection of full NRIC numbers, even if they are not required by law. For example, preschool centres will prefer to collect the full NRIC numbers of visitors rather than just, say, mobile numbers. The parents will certainly feel more secure. In applications for and disbursements of substantial financial aid, persons would also need to be accurately identified. We will take these considerations on board when updating the guidelines. In any case, I would like to assure members like Ms. Jean C and Mr. Ong Hua Han that the PDPC will support businesses in changing their authentication methods. This will include raising their awareness on why the use of NRIC numbers as a factor of authentication is unsafe and working through IMDA and CSA's programs to help businesses review and adjust their practices. Two questions by Ms. Tin Pei Ling, Mr. Zukanain, and Dr. James Lim. I should emphasize that NRIC numbers are personal data. This means that organizations collecting and using NRIC numbers must continue to exercise a duty of care. Subject to applicable law, they must notify and seek consent on use and also ensure that the data is sufficiently protected. Certainly, they should not disclose the NRIC numbers unless there is good reason to do so.